Good morning. I'd like to welcome all of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Paul. I'm from Christian Motorcyclist Association. Heinz is from Crossroads Ministry. We work together as much as we can. Now, first of all, welcome to the chapel at the racetrack. So, I'd like to pray, and we'll ask God's presence here. So, would you pray with me? Father, we bow in your presence, and we pray, Father, for your touch, for you to be here as we worship. Lead us in worship. Father, open our eyes, open our hearts, so we can receive from you. And Father, we pray for your presence and guidance and your leadership all the way through this service. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to read to you from the book of Psalms for our opener. And in a good number of churches, this is being read this morning. It's the 111th Psalm. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds. His righteousness endures forever. He caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He has shown his people the power of his works. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All of his precepts are trustworthy. They are steadfast forever and ever, done in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. And here's Heinz.
Morning, y'all. Last weekend was Easter. And, everybody pretty much knows what Easter stands for that's here probably. But I want to talk a little bit about getting Easter, understanding what Jesus is all about. And I want to start, the Easter celebration for the Jewish people was actually the Passover celebration, which I don't know how many of you are all familiar with the Old Testament, but the Passover was something they celebrated because at one time they were all enslaved in Egypt. And God sent Moses there to talk Pharaoh, to have Pharaoh release the Israelites to where they could go to their country. Well, of course, the Pharaoh didn't want to do that, so it took about 10 plagues before he finally decided he would let them go. But, I mean, there's all kinds of different things happen. You know, God sent locusts to destroy the crops and everything that would grow, and he sent frogs one time. There's all kinds of different ones. But the last one that he was going to send was the worst one. And what he was going to do, he was going to kill every firstborn in that country. That was firstborn child, firstborn animal. I mean, this was going to be a mess, basically. And what he did, because he didn't want the Israelites to be hit by that, he told them, what you need to do is you need to sacrifice a goat or a lamb, a one-year-old. You sacrifice that and you take the blood and you put it on the doorpost and on the lintel around the door. And that's how the spirit will know that you're mine. And by doing that, this is not going to happen to you. And sure enough, God sent the plague, caused all the firstborn to die, animals and all, but all the Israelites, nothing happened to them. They were okay. And because of that happening, the Pharaoh finally says, I've got enough of this. You guys are out of here. You can go. So because of that, they started celebrating the Passover every year. They were celebrating this. And there's a whole bunch of ritual stuff that they go through. It's pretty interesting. We actually went to a church here recently and did a Jewish Passover just to see how it is. It's really cool. If you ever get the chance to do it, you should do it. But that's kind of what leads up to Jesus going to Jerusalem. Him and the disciples, of course, they follow, you know, they follow Jewish laws and customs. So they're going to go celebrate the Passover. And he tells the disciples this, and on they go. You know, they're on their way to Jerusalem. Now, Jesus knows that there's going to be a whole new thing introduced into all this. And I want to read this. In Mark 10:32, it says, they were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way. The disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. Now, kind of catch the word again. This ain't the first time he's telling them this. But I'll read on. It says, we are going up to Jerusalem, he said, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise. Now, if somebody told you that, that ought to get your attention. I mean, if a friend of mine came up to me, because, I mean, they were obviously friends also, and told me he's going to get crucified, I would really get the attention. That would get my attention. But check this out. The very next verse, here is what comes up. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. They're a couple of the disciples. Said, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left hand in your glory. Now, they just heard that Jesus is going to die, and they're worried about where they're going to sit when they get into heaven. Now, you know, they're regular people just like us. And the only thing I can say is they didn't get it. They didn't have a clue what was about to happen. Even so, Jesus had already told them before, and he's just telling them again. They just didn't. Well, it goes on. And he, in Matthew 26:31, it says, then Jesus told them, this very night you will fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. In other words, he ain't going to just have that happen to him. They're all going to run away. He's going to do it all by himself. They're not even going to be there to support him. But it gets better, luckily. I'm glad it doesn't end like that. Now, it goes on. We know the story. You know, Jesus goes through the trial. He gets crucified. The last thing he says is, it is finished, when he dies on that cross. That was the last thing he said. With that, he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. And I'm glad it didn't end right there. It was finished as far as the work that he was to do. He purposely died on the cross. His blood was purposely spilled, if you want to say it that way, for us. He died on that cross. He came here for that to happen, with that in mind. And even so they didn't get it, he still did it. Well, let's go on. I mean, we just celebrated this last week, so it's pretty fresh in our mind. But let's get into the significance of it a little bit. The Israelites, when they were in Egypt, they needed the covering of the blood of the animal, which was strictly symbolic. Animals don't save nobody, but it was a symbolic thing. By them painting that on their doors, they were protected. Well, when Jesus came, to people that believe in him, all of a sudden the Passover takes a whole new meaning. Because now he spilled his blood, but instead of spilling it for us to get out of America, he spilled it for us that we can be saved. And that is an awesome part. Now, you know, do you get that? I mean, does that really make sense to you? To a lot of us, it doesn't. I mean, it's really hard to grasp that. There's a scripture verse in the Bible where it says that non-believers, the Bible doesn't really make sense to them. And, you know, there's so much explaining you can do about, you know, well, Jesus lived, there's proof that he was alive, there's proof of this, proof of that. And that's all great, and it's really good, and we need that. Because that's what helps us make up our mind whether we want to believe in it or not. But when it comes right down to it, at the very end of it, at some point you have to take a leap of faith and say, yeah, I do buy into this, and I do believe it. And what you need to do is just compare it against some of the other religions. I mean, You could be a Hindu. You could be a Muslim. And there's a lot of things you can be. They all say they're the real thing. But are they truly? And that's where if you read the Bible, and it is the Word of God, and if you read it and you look at some of the things that have happened and that continue to happen, you will probably come to the conclusion that it is the Word of God. But there's always that little bit of you don't get it. You almost do, but not quite. And that's where you take that leap of faith. And that's just like the disciples at the end. You know, there's in John 20:19. No, one on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. I mean, they're hiding out, you know. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and the side. The disciples were overjoyed and they saw the when they saw the Lord. They got it. And all of a sudden, they got it. When he walked, I mean, he just showed up. He didn't even walk through the door. He's just there. That'd be kind of cool, wouldn't it? So, they firsthand experienced it like this. Now, a lot of people say, you know, it'd be easier to believe back then because you're right there to see all that. I kind of disagree with that. I think it's easier to believe now. Because we've got the Old Testament, we got the New Testament, we got all these different books, and they all work together. And I mean, it's just totally awesome how all these books can just work together. They're written over thousands of years apart, and it still all fits together. That should make it easier than if some guy says, you know, I'm God. You'd either call him a lunatic, or you got to believe who he is. Now, me personally, I do believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And that's why I'm here. Because I know when it's all over, we're all going to die someday. And when that happens, I hope you're all going to heaven with me. And the way you do that is you receive him as your Savior. You believe that he was born. You believe that he died on the cross for us. You believe that he rose again. That the spilling of his blood paid for all our sins. Because no matter how good we are, we're all going to mess up. I probably messed up yesterday. Don't quite know yet, but I'm sure I did. We all mess up, no matter how good we want to be. So we need him to cover that for us. And that's the awesome thing. Being saved is not work. Being saved is a gift. Jesus gives it to us. That is a gift that he gave us by him dying. Now, being saved also means you want to live for him. It'd be just like with your mom and dad. You know, they ask you to do things and you do them. Well, Jesus is the same way. He wants us to live for him. So, once we make that commitment, if we truly make it, you'll know it. Because things in your heart change. All of a sudden, you become a different person and you want to serve him. If you make that commitment and nothing changes, you might want to double check it to make sure you did it. Because it is a miraculous thing. I remember when my wife was saved, she said it was like Jesus walked up behind her and just wrapped his arms around her. I mean, she knew without a shadow of a doubt that she was saved. Me personally, when I was saved, it took me a couple days for it to sink in because I'm not the touchy-feely, so it took me a little bit. But the one thing, you have to take that step of faith. And if you want to take that step of faith this morning, I'm not going to bring you up here in front of everybody. That kind of embarrasses some people. But I'm going to be here all day. Honda Bob's here. We got Paul over here. We got Jason Blystone. Any of us. Man, we all be just glad to pray with anybody. And to make sure that if something should happen to you on the way home tonight, that you know where you're going. And with that, I'd like to close. Dear Lord God, we just thank you so much. It is awesome to think of what you did for us. And the really awesome part is you loved us first. It wasn't us that started it. You started it. And that is just absolutely great. So Lord, I ask that you would stir the hearts of every person here. The ones that don't know you, I ask that you would put the desire in their hearts to come to know you. And the ones that do know you, just let this be a refreshing, just a reminder. We all need that. I know even myself, I need it all the time. So we just thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for everything you do. We thank you for the awesome day. It couldn't be any better. I mean, it's just beautiful. I just ask you to be with us as we go out and race. Protect us. Keep us safe. Let us have a good time. And as always, do it for your glory and not ours. In Jesus' name, amen.